I probably don't need to tell you, our nation is anxious about a lot of things. We long for some assurance that we're on the right track, that we will remain safe, that we will have trustworthy leaders. A lot of politicians are trying to exploit our anxieties. We wish that we could have faith in what they say, because so many of their promises sound too good to be true. Fortunately, our epistle today offers us some perspective in all this. It begins with these famous words: faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Our text is proposing a different basis for faith and assurance, for promises that we can count on. First, let us be clear about what we mean by faith. Sometimes people talk about the Christian faith when they really are talking about doctrines like the Trinity and the Incarnation. My friends, those are beliefs that help clarify what our faith is all about, but they are not faith itself. The biblical word being used here for faith means trust. Trust. Friends, the issue then and now is, whom shall we trust? The ultimate role model mentioned in our text for that kind of faith is Abraham, who trusted in God's promises enough to pull up stakes, take his family on a very long journey, to which only God knew where they were going. The book of Genesis doesn't tell us very much about Abraham's religious upbringing. He grew up in that ancient Sumerian kingdom near today's Baghdad. Abraham had married Sarah, who, alas, was barren. And when both were really old, God suddenly appeared to Abraham and Sarah and told them to move where God would indicate to them a place to settle in. There, God said, I will make Abraham the father of a great nation. And even though they were elderly, really old, older than I am, really old and childless, they believed God and were eventually rewarded with a miraculous birth, their son Isaac. Friends, Abraham is an amazing example of faith, given how little he knew about God. We, on the other hand, have a great head start on Abraham. We know a lot about God through all of the biblical stories. This God who calls us on a journey of faith. But he had something on us. He lived in a culture that took the interaction of the spiritual world and the physical world interacting with each other. He took that for granted. He lived in a world where there were thin places, as the Irish love to say, places where the spiritual and the physical interact. Places where you meet up with both good and bad spirits. However, beginning in the 17th century AD, there arose a desire to move away from that kind of world because it was promoting so many religious conflicts to a world that is based upon reason and experience and on hard scientific facts. Religious beliefs and experiences were increasingly declared to be personal, private, unsuited for the public domain. As a result, Christianity became more and more inward in its thinking, focused on a God that we encounter only in church or in private prayer or in reading the Bible or in reading other religious books. So I want to propose to you that the first thing necessary for us, if we're to grow in our own faith, to trust in God's promises, is that we must develop an imagination that includes the spiritual dimension for all of life. We must reconnect with those thin places where the spiritual and the physical world intersect. To delve a little deeper into that role of imagination in faith, I invite you to listen to a very brief little passage from Nikos Kazantzakis' Last Temptation of Christ. Jesus had been preaching to a very large crowd about the kingdom of heaven when all of a sudden an old man interrupted him. He said, "Those words, heaven and freedom and justice, they're just vague and empty words." He challenged Jesus to perform some real miracles. He said, "If you'll do that, we'll believe you. And if you won't, just shut up." Jesus replied as follows, I quote, "Everything is a miracle, O man, old man. What further miracles do you want? Look below you. Every blade of grass has its guardian angel who stands by and helps it grow. Look above you to the miracle of the stars, the star-filled sky. And if you close your eyes, old man, what a miracle is the world within us. What a star-filled sky is our hearts." When I first read those words, I had an aha moment regarding the meaning of today's text about faith being the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Up to that point, I had always thought of that phrase as referring to everlasting life, the world to come. But now it dawned on me that it also refers to our experiencing God in and through our everyday life, here and now. Now, I think we would all agree that those kinds of experiences involve mountaintop or starry night experiences. It involves falling in love. It involves the birth of a child. All those kind of peak experiences. But I want to propose to you that our God-given imagination, faith-filled imagination, also includes such matters as working in the office, cleaning house, weeding the garden, visiting friends, caring for small children, and yes, even governing our country. Now, there's good news and bad news on this matter of emphasizing imagination for our faith journey. The good news is it seems that our country has a growing hunger for things spiritual. The number of books being written on spirituality is growing. It's almost overwhelming. Articles on spirituality are appearing all the time in magazines and newspapers. And one theme that runs through almost all of them is that a vital faith is not one that's segregated off to just pious moments, but it's one that tackles all of life. Now, I would be dishonest if I did not say that is not easy. It's very countercultural. But the good news is that faith is not something we can make happen. Let me say that again. Faith is not something we can make happen. Faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit, which is present in every moment, in everything we do. Our task is to tune in, to see life with a new set of spectacles. They've already been given to us in baptism, and they're polished up every time we partake in the Eucharist. The Holy Spirit helps open up our imagination-shaped faith. Now, I realize that the Holy Spirit is a mysterious part of our faith tradition for lots of people. Friends, we need to talk about her a lot more. One of my favorite spiritual writers wrote recently, "I don't know what the Holy Spirit is or how she works. But what I do know to my core is that she laughs. She is utterly fearless. And she asks a lot of questions." End of quote. The Holy Spirit, my friends, will fire up our imagination and our faith if we will let her. Another piece of good news is that the God we encounter in everyday life is not some cosmic unknown, but rather is the Father that Jesus taught us to address when we pray. The face of God that we experience in everyday life is none other than the face of Jesus Christ, whom we call the Son of God, whose words and actions provide us the basis for our assurance in the promises of God and for our conviction of things not seen. Now, just a brief word about the bad news in all of this. A lot of people are saying that they're spiritual but not religious, that they're spiritual seekers rather than supporters of institutional religion. Why has this happened? Well, I would like to suggest that our churches have not been active enough in opening the eyes of our imagination for our spiritual journeys. But in this matter, just what is the church? My friends, the church is you and me. We are the church, and that we all depend upon each other for this journey of faith. Our churches need to be places where we help each other deepen our faith. Friends, I am standing here speaking to you today because a lot of church people, both clergy and lay, over a very long period of time, have done just that and still are. The Bible calls that witnessing to or sharing our faith. Friends, it's a key component to our being a people deep in faith. Next week, we'll hear more from the Epistle to the Hebrews about our being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. But meanwhile, why don't we just all see if this coming week we can't use those faith spectacles to be on the lookout for the presence of God beneath and within our everyday activities. The Holy Spirit is waiting to make that happen. Amen.